Pastor, take your Bible this evening and turn to the book of 2 Timothy. The book of 2 Timothy in your Bibles this evening in chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 in your Bibles this evening and verse number 14. Well, it has been a wonderful week here. I've enjoyed my time. Thank you so much, Pastor, for allowing me to be here. And we thank the Lord for this church and for what has taken place here. And we are excited about the future. And let me just say, we just keep looking forward to, you know, as the Bible says, we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I'm so thankful there's a church here in Rome that's pressing forward for the Lord. And let me encourage you to stay faithful and keep on going forward for the Savior. I'll be over in Rochester, New York, there, Child Life Bible Baptist, Brother Roscoe, tomorrow night. And then I'll be home for a day. Saturday morning, I'll get up and I'll drive up to the UP, Upper Michigan, and I'll preach in Manistique. I'll be there Sunday through Thursday, drive home Friday, pick up my wife. We leave on Saturday. We start revival in West Virginia Sunday through Wednesday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we're down in Greenville, South Carolina. We start a revival in Augusta, Georgia. And so you pray for us that we get in there at the golf course over there. But we'll go there. And then from there, we go over to, right outside of Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina, preach a revival. And then down to Florence, South Carolina for revival, up to New Hampshire for revival, then out to Rockford, Illinois, and I preach a high school graduation out there at there in Rockford, fly back home, preach in Connecticut for two weeks there, and then I fly out to Idaho, and I preach a meeting out there, then to Ohio, and then from Ohio, I'm in Cincinnati, and I'm up in Cleveland. And then I don't know where we're at in the end of June, July, somewhere in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. So we're all over running wild trying to preach the gospel. So pray for us, if you would, that God would continue to use us. And if you're follow us online, we'd love to do that. But we thank the Lord for this church and thank God for your faithfulness to the Lord. You got your Bible there in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 14. The Bible says, "But continue thou and the thing which thou was learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou was learned them, and that from a child thou was known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap them themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come unto me shortly, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." Father, we thank you for the Bible this evening. We thank you for the convicting power of it. I pray, Father, that as it goes forward tonight, that we would simply listen to it. Father, that we would set it aside, the distractions and cares of the day, the problems that we brought to church tonight. And I pray, Father, that we just listen to you. And Father, when the Holy Spirit of God brings about conviction, may we make Bible-lasting changes that would make an impact in our lives for eternity to come. Work, I pray. Lord, if there's one tonight that's not sure they're saved, never been born again, we pray this evening would be the night of transformation and salvation in their life. Work, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You come to 2 Timothy, and boy, you talk about an exciting book. The Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy and encouraging Timothy to continue going forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. He told Timothy, "Hold fast thou the word which thou hast heard." He encouraged Timothy to be a man of God and to go forward for the Savior, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold unto eternal life. And Timothy, you've been instructed by God to keep pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And boy, you read the book of 2 Timothy, and the Apostle Paul is giving his final plea, his final charge, his last message before Paul is ready to enter into Almighty God's presence. It says in chapter number 4, Paul said, "I am now ready to be ready to depart, Paul said, hey, listen, Timothy, I want you to know that I've come to the end of the road for my ministry. Hey, God Almighty is calling me home. After all, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this is the judgment. So Paul said, Timothy, I've come to the end of my race. I want you to know, Timothy, God gave me a job to do for him. It started on that Damascus road I was going, and zealous, I was going to go kill some Christians and imprison Christians. And as I'm making my way down that Damascus road, Almighty God spoke to me from heaven and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus who you're persecuting. And Saul there on that day said, what wilt thou have me to do, Lord? There on that day, he gave his life to the Savior. There he was born again. And there's Paul's life was transformed by the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There Paul went and preached the gospel. He would say he went through Asia Minor. He went through Europe. He went all over the known world preaching the word of God, Jesus Christ, salvation in Christ alone. And as Paul has come to 2 Timothy chapter number 4, he is now sitting in a Roman jail cell. He's about ready to be executed for the cause of Jesus Christ. Hey, maybe it was an maybe it was in a day, maybe it was in a week. We don't know how much longer Paul had. Maybe Paul had run the different courses of his legal system, and yet the verdict came back, stamped and approved. You're going to die of execution because of your testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Paul is writing to Timothy, he says, Timothy, I want you to know I fought that good fight. And by the way, friend, let me remind you, we all have a fight to fight. We all have a race to run. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him which endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. And Timothy, I want you to know, as I've come to the end of my life, God gave me a course to run. He gave me a job to do for his service. And I want you to know, I fought that good fight. I finished the course, Timothy. I didn't back down. Oh, there were false teachers and false accusers, and there were the false doctrines that I would battle. Hey, I think about there as Paul wrote to Titus, man, he talked about the Cretans and their gossip, and boy, the language that they would use. There were Hymenaeus and Alexander, and boy, the different problems he faced. Paul said, I want you to know, Timothy, God gave me a race to run. He gave me a fight to be involved in, and I want you to know I've done what God called me to do. He said, I fought a good fight. He said, I finished my course. He said, I've kept the faith. I'm not compromised. I'm not changed my doctrine. I'm not changed the Word of God. I'm not trying to corrupt it. I didn't take the Word of God and try to make money off of it. Hey, Timothy, I want you to know I just simply preached the Word of God as God Almighty gave it, and I was a faithful steward of the ministry that God put me entrusted with. And Timothy, I want you to know that as I've come to the end of my life, as I look back in retrospect, I can say I did what God called me to do. And because of that, I can boldly say and gladly say in verse number 8, there's a crown of righteousness awaiting me when I get to heaven. Hey, Timothy, one day soon, when I draw my last breath, I will enter into the presence of Jehovah God. And there I'll see Jesus Christ, the one who gave his all for me. I'll be able to look at Christ, and there will be a crown of righteousness awaiting me. And Timothy, let me remind you, it's just not only for me, but it's for all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ. It's for all them that are faithful to the Savior. It's all for them that love his appearing. Timothy, hey, there's a prize at the end of the finish line. Hey, there is a prize to obtain. Understand, dear friend, this evening, there is a prize that we can earn for living for the Savior. And Paul said, I want you to know, I'm getting ready to graduate to heaven. And man, I'm going to be going in with honors. I'm going in with rewards. Hey, Almighty God is getting ready to greet me. I'm just about home. But he said in verse number 9, he said, do thy diligence to come to me shortly. Why? For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed. I'm the Thessalonica. Folks, you read about Demas, you understand he's mentioned in the book of Philemon. He's mentioned in the book of Colossians. Demas was a man of God that preached the Word of God. Understand, Demas wasn't your Sunday morning Christian. He wasn't somebody that would just come on Christmas and Easter and that's all you see of Demas. But no, let me say, Demas was a man faithful to the ministry of Almighty God. He went and preached the Bible. He saw people saved. He saw local churches established. Hey, God's hand was upon this man, Demas. Demas was doing the ministry of Almighty God. But understand, there came a point in Demas' life where he realized that no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else to hold the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And instead of choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, he chose the pleasures of sin for a season. Instead of esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt,
the choice to go after the things of this world. And all I think about Demas is as they sit in local churches all throughout America and all throughout the world. Boy, they come to church with Bible under arm. They sing the sweet songs of Zion. They put on a good show. They may teach a Sunday school class. They may preach the Word of God. They may be a faithful soul winner. They may work on the bus ministry. They may sing in the choir. But sadly, there are Demases all over the place. They start out right, and more their focus is correct. We want to serve God, and we want to live for God, and yet they come to the place in their life where they realize there's pleasure in sin for a season, and like Demas of old, they make the decision to quit on God and quit on the ministry God's called them to. And here Paul has come to the end of his life, and with a broken heart, Paul is writing to Timothy about this man Demas that quit on Almighty God. And the plea in the heartbeat of Paul, and the plea in the heartbeat of our Savior, is not that we would be a Demas, but no, that we would stay faithful, continuing in the things that God's called us to do. That's why Paul wrote in chapter number 3 and verse number 14, he said, Timothy, but continue thou. Understand, dear friend, tonight, God Almighty is not looking for you to quit. He's not looking for you to stall out. He's not looking for you to get stagnant in your walk with the Savior. He's not looking for you to get lukewarm. But no, God is looking for you to consistently continue growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Understand, dear friend, that this life, it's not a sprint, but no, it's that long marathon. Man, it's that long race. Understand, God wants us to keep pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He wants us to keep on going for the Savior. Hey, can I ask you tonight, child of God, are you continuing in what God's called you to do? Hey, Timothy, you better continue in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of. Why? Because chapter 3, verse 1 says this, know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truth breakers, false accusers, fierce, incontinent, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Hey, Timothy, you just better mark it down. It may not be easy. It may not be popular. Hey, you might be beheaded. You might be crucified upside down. You might be stoned like Stephen was. But Timothy, it doesn't matter. You better just determine. It doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what the family says. Hey, it doesn't matter what's popular in the pop culture. Hey, Timothy, you just better determine in your heart and mind that you're just going to keep on continuing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of. You say, preacher, what was Timothy to continue in? If I'm going to hear Jesus Christ say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, if I'm going to get to the end of my life and look back and not have those regrets and not have the sorrows of the past, of sin, what am I to continue in? It says in verse number 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Number one, Timothy, this evening, you better continue in old-fashioned Bible reading. Hey, Timothy, make no doubt about it, man. You better continue in the Word of God. Hey, Timothy, from a child, when you were a little baby, man, walking around in Pampers pull-ups, you started to learn the Word of God. Hey, Timothy, when you graduated and started to grow a little bit, and then you started to talk and you started to read, hey, not only did Grandma pull you on her lap and teach you about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not only did Mama come along and tell you about Noah and Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. Hey, Timothy, not only did the Sunday school teacher get up there in your Sunday school class and teach about David killing Goliath and about King Saul, but Timothy, from a young age, you started to learn the Word of God. And then you started to grow and you started to mature. And then you started to get your nose in your Bible. And Timothy, you started to read and understand and digest the Word of God. And Timothy, you continued being in the Word of God. Then you started to study it. And before long, man, you were up preaching the Bible, the blessed gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, Timothy, I look at where you're at in the ministry, serving the Lord Jesus Christ, pastoring a local church, doing the ministry that God's called you to do. Hey, Timothy, the reason you're serving God today, the reason you're where you're at selling out for God today, is because from a child you started to learn the Word of God. And Timothy, you better keep on going in the Word of God. Hey, you better keep your nose in the Bible. You just better determine, you know what, I'm not making these substitutes for my devotions. I'm going to be in my Bible on a daily basis, reading it, studying it, memorizing it, and letting the Bible transform and change my life. Can I ask you this evening, child of God, are you continuing in the Word of God? It says in Joshua 1, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For therein thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Psalm 12:6-7, The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. I shall keep them, O Lord. I shall preserve them from this generation forever. It says in Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warm, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimony, and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in His way. For Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandment. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119, 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119, 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Jeremiah 23, 29. Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Matthew 24, 15. Verily, verily, I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Hebrews 4, 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It says in 1 Peter 1, verse 20, for prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's why Jesus said in John, search the Scriptures, for in them you think that ye have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. That's why Paul said about the Bereans, they were more noble. Why? Because they searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. That's why Almighty God told Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why Peter says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. That's why he later said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's why when Jesus preached in Revelation 1, verse 3, he said, blessed are they that hear the words of God. Blessed are they that hear it and read it and study it and memorize it and get in the Bible. Why? Because, friend, understand, God's word is powerful. God's word is life-changing. God's word will transform you. Hey, God's word will take you from an unsaved individual, and it'll show you how Jesus died on the cross for you and took your sins away. And if by faith alone, apart from works, you'd be trusting to be your Savior, you could have a home in heaven. And dear friend, it'll take you from an unsaved individual to a child of God that's a babe, to a man of God that's mature in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Understand, the solution is simple. The solution is the word of God. Hey, we need to be in our Bible daily, growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what was the Savior's passion for you to be in your Bible? What was David's passion to know the Word of God? What should you and what should my passion be? It's to be in our Bible, letting the Word of God transform and change our life. And I ask you tonight, are you continuing in the Word of God? I wonder, this past week, did you read your Bible every day? I wonder, this past month, have you skipped any time in the Word of God? I wonder, are you an individual that is looking into the perfect law of liberty and continuing therein? He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. How about it, Dad? Are you a dad that says, you know what, we're just not going to carry our Bibles to church because it's spiritual, but no, we're going to take our Bible home, and as a family, we're going to read the Word of God. How about it, Mom? When's the last time your kids walked downstairs early in the morning and accidentally stumbled upon you sitting in your rocking chair reading the Word of God? Hey, how about it, teenager? When's the last time your parents walked in on you in your room, and instead of finding you listening to ungodly music, doing things you ought not do, when's the last time they found you with the Word of God open and you desiring to learn about the Savior? Hey, how about it, sir? How about it, ma'am? When's the last time you got in your Bible and said, God, I want you to transform me through this book? Boy, I tell you, let me ask you, Sunday school teacher, when's the last time you took a passage of Scripture and, boy, you're teaching a lesson, and, boy, you studied that message, and you studied that lesson, and you prayed over that lesson, and, boy, you begged God to give you power as you taught that Sunday school lesson to those kids, to that class you're teaching? Boy, I'll tell you, I think about the average church, and the Sunday school classes for the kids, and for the teenagers and the adults. Boy, folks dread going to Sunday school. Why? Because the teacher gets up with no passion and no desire and no understanding of the scripture and just presents a little lesson for the little kids. But understand, a mama, a dad, a teenager, an adult that has a desire for God's word is going to be an individual that's in the word of God saying, God, speak to me so I can communicate that to those kids in that class. A person that loves the Savior and loves the Bible is going to be one that is searching the scriptures daily to see if these things are so. Hey, somebody that loves the Bible is somebody that's going to do what David did, where he said, my eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate upon thy word. Hey, David said, I love the Bible so much, I just stay awake at night thinking about it. Hey, David didn't say, I think about what's going on the ESPN. He said, I don't think about the NBA playoffs. He said, I don't think about NASCAR. He said, I don't think about the Yankees. He said, I don't think about football. He says, I think about the Word of God. Hey, that's what's on his heart. That's what's on his mind. Oh, I'm afraid we got so many of God's people. What do they do at night? Hey, toss and turn in their bed thinking about work. Hey, toss and turn in their bed thinking about the last argument they had. Hey, toss and turn thinking about, boy, I can't get to sleep. Oh, let me encourage you, child of God. Make the Bible a priority in your home. And Paul said, Timothy, there's no doubt about it, no way around it. If you're going to be what God's called you to be, if you're going to one day hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and you better mark it down, Timothy, you better continue in the Word of God. You say, preacher, why am I to continue in the Word of God? Verse 16, all Scripture. By the way, thank God, all Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And Paul didn't say part of Scripture is inspired. He just said, hey, it's 98.6%, and the other, a little bit, we don't know what's, if it's man's words or whose words it is. No, hey, thank God all Scripture is inspired. And by the way, if God was inspired, He'd preserve it for us. Hey, thank God we have the Word of God today. I thank God I got up this morning, opened my Bible, and I didn't wonder, is this the Bible? I'm glad I didn't have to wonder, should this word be in there? Should that phrase be in there? Should this chapter or this portion of Scripture be a part of what I read today? No, thank God that I got up, and I just simply said, I believe this is my Bible, and I'm going to ask God to teach me from His Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And by the way, if God gave us a love letter, man, we ought to read the love letter. What was the purpose for the Bible? It's profitable. If you turn on TV, man, there's not a lot of profit. You get on Facebook, and man, there's very little profit there. Man, you get on your phone, you start texting away, very little profit there. But I tell you, dear friend, you open up your Bible, and every time you're in your Bible, man, you're reaping some good benefits. Every time it's getting some godly dividends in your home and in your family, and boy, it's transforming you to be more like Jesus Christ. Hey, when you're in the Bible, it's profitable. What's it profitable for? Number one, for doctrine, teaches us what is right. For reproof, it teaches us what is wrong. For correction, it teaches us how to get it right. And for instruction in righteousness, it teaches us how to keep it right. You understand, the Bible is the formula for how you're going to be complete in Jesus Christ. I preached a message from 2 Peter chapter number 1 about, are you tired of getting yes? That's my title. And I talk to the teenagers. Many times I preach to teenagers and I say, the reality is God Almighty has given us a textbook. And the textbook whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Understand, dear friend, God's given us His Word. Hey, God's Word is the textbook. It's the answer book. It's the solution for every problem you face. It's a solution for your tongue. It's a solution for your anger. It's a solution for your bitterness. It's a solution for your pornography. It's a solution for your gossip. Understand, the Word of God is the answer for your problems that you'll face throughout the day. Boy, what's the problem? Why are we in our Bible? Why do we search the Scriptures daily? Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. The reason we get in our Bible, study our Bible, memorize our Bible is because the end result is, I'm going to be like Jesus Christ. You show me a child of God that's in their Bible on a daily basis, and I'll show you a Christian that's going to be more like Jesus Christ. You show me a child of God that comes each morning with that heartfelt desire. I just want to know my Savior a little bit more as they open those pages of the Word of God. And I'll show you an individual that's becoming more like Jesus Christ. That sanctification process is taking place in their life where they come from the world and then they conform to the image of Jesus. Jesus Christ. After all, the Bible says in Matthew 5:48, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." The Bible says, "Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Hey, the Bible says, "Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Understand, God expects you and expects me to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. You say, "Preacher, how am I going to be like Christ? How am I going to be a victorious Christian? How am I going to get control over sin in my life?" Dear friend, it's by getting in the pages of God's Word and let the Bible transform your life. You say, "Preacher, where did Demas go wrong? Where did he start slipping? How come Demas went and served the world and lived for the world in Thessalonica?" I'll tell you where it probably happened. One day, Demas woke up and said, "You know what? I think I'd just rather go down and watch the television set instead of reading my Bible. I'd rather just hop on the computer and check out what everybody's doing instead of getting my Bible." Hey, Demas, there was a place in Demas' life where Demas made the choice that the Bible was no longer the priority, and the things of this world were the priority. And Paul says to Timothy, if you're going to avoid that roadblock, if you're going to avoid that hazard in the road, hey, Timothy, you better, number one, continue in Bible reading. But he goes on in chapter 4, in verse number 1, not only are we to continue in Bible reading, but he says in verse 1, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom." Number one, Timothy, you better continue in Bible reading. But number two, you better continue in Bible vision. Hey, Timothy, I'm giving you this final charge, man, this final letter of encouragement. Here's what I'm doing. I'm giving you the charge because Jesus is coming again. Hey, Timothy, what's going to keep you going for the Savior? What's going to keep you being the preacher that you ought to be for Christ? What's going to help you be the dad and the mom and the teenager you ought to be for the Lord Jesus Christ? It's by living with the fact that Jesus is coming again. As the song goes, maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, maybe soon. Hey, Jesus is coming again, friend. We don't know when He's coming, but Jesus said, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Hey, understand, dear friend, tonight, Jesus could come back before this evening is over. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Hey, Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according as his work shall be." He said, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." I like how John finished the book of Revelation. Jesus said, "Surely I come quickly." And John said, "Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Understand, you get to that last couple verses of the Word of God, and what is Jesus saying to you and to me? "I'm coming again." Understand, dear friend, we don't know when the trumpet's going to sound. We don't know when we're going to see Jesus Christ face to face. But understand, Jesus could come back at any moment. He could come back if you're leaving this church tonight, driving back toward home. He could come back tonight as you're sitting in your bed watching that television. He could come back tonight as you're on that computer. He could come back when you're in that argument. Understand, Jesus could come back when you're in your Bible or on your knees in prayer. Hey, He could come back during this preaching service. Understand, dear friend, we don't know when Jesus is coming, but boy, He gave us that promise that He's coming soon. Understand, Jesus Christ is going to come again. And you say, "Preacher, that's an exciting thing. Man, at any moment, boy, we'll be caught up to see Jesus Christ face to face." But you understand, when we see Jesus Christ face to face, we're going to stand before Him. And the Bible says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every man may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. You understand, one day when I draw my last breath and I see Jesus Christ, I'm going to give an account for how I live my life. I'm going to stand before my Savior, and I'm going to give that narrative for why I live the way that I live. I tell you, folks, I don't want to stand next to the Apostle Paul. Think about that. I don't want to stand next. I love Hebrews chapter number 11, but I'll tell you, I don't want to stand next to Abel. I don't want to stand next to Enoch. I don't want to stand back next to Noah. Man, I don't want to stand next to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Joseph. I don't want to stand next to David. I don't want to stand next to different men of God and ladies of God that said, "You know what, we're going to step out by faith and we're going to be obedient to Almighty God." Man, I'll tell you, I don't want to do that. Why? Because I look at my own life, and boy, I see my failures and my faults, and I realize, man, I look at their life, and then I look at my Savior's life, and I say, boy, there's a lot of growth I've got to do in my life to be more like Christ. I understand, that's why the Bible says in 1 John 3, verse 3, "Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. You say, preacher, why should I live a pure life? Why should I live a holy life? Why should I be different? Why should I step out by faith and walk with God? Because, dear friend, that's what God expects of you and from me. One day I'm going to stand before Christ. I tell you, I want to stand before Christ and see all the things I've done with my life go up in smoke and flames and nothing but ashes be left to present Christ. But I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to present my Savior all the gold, silver, and precious stones that I can possibly get. I want to look at Christ and say, here's what I did for you. I want my life to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I wonder, what's Jesus going to say about you? What's He going to say about you, child of God, tonight? Is He going to look at you with those eyes that He looked with Peter, and boy, Peter went out and wept after He denied the Lord three times? Is He going to look at you with those regretful eyes saying, oh, I wish you would have lived a life differently to be acceptable before the Savior? I wonder, what's Jesus going to say about you? I remember when I was growing up, my dad was away on business. It was in the summer. And I remember my mom told us that afternoon, dad's on his way home. He's flying in. He's going to get in later this evening. She said, you better be ready for your dad when he gets home. Dad gave us boys the job of cleaning up the toys outside. And for some reason that night, we played and we played and played as boys do. Man, it's, you know, sun's starting to go down, and mom calls us in and says, hey, listen, let's get a bath before bedtime. For some reason that night, we didn't put our toys away. We went in, got our bath, and man, we climbed in bed. I remember that night, dad came home, and he woke us up. I was always excited when dad would wake me up because it usually meant he got a cool present when he was away. Not, by the way, not cheap peanuts on the airplane. Or I'm talking about cool stuff, you know. Some of you parents are cheap. You get your kids pretzels and peanuts on the airplane. That's not cool, all right? That's what I get my kids. But I remember he woke us up. He said, hey, boys, he said, come to my room. Three oldest boys go walking in dad's room. We're like, man, show us the present, Dad. You know, what'd you get us? A new dirt bike, you know, four-wheeler, trampoline. No, man, we got pain on the backside, you know. Why? I wasn't ready for Dad to come home. Man, I didn't do my chores. I did not occupy till he comes. No, I wasn't ready for Dad to get home. You know, I think about my life, and I've got one life to live. I want to occupy and do what God's called me to do. Why? Because He's coming soon. Can I ask you tonight? Are you ready for Jesus to come back? Hey, Paul says, Timothy, what's going to keep you going? What's going to keep you going forward for Christ? Hey, Jesus shall judge the quick and the dead, and is appearing in His kingdom. He's coming again. Number one, continue in Bible reading. Number two, continue in Bible vision. But number three, and lastly there in verse number two, notice Paul says, preach the word. Number three, Timothy, you better continue in Bible preaching. Hey, Timothy, preach the word. Preach the book. Timothy, preach the Bible. And by the way, folks, Paul didn't say, Timothy, if it's popular, preach the Bible. He said, preach the book. Preach the word. Hey, Timothy, it doesn't matter if they like it or they don't like it. Preach the Bible. Hey, Timothy, it doesn't matter if they take you and they throw you in jail and they leave you there like they did Micaiah. It doesn't matter. You preach the Bible. Hey, it doesn't matter if they mock you and make fun of you as they probably did for Noah when he warned them of coming judgment. Hey, you preach the Bible. Hey, it doesn't matter if you're a man like Enoch who walked with God for 300 years and preached that judgment is coming. Hey, you just keep preaching the Bible. Understand, you may be like Abel and you may be killed for your stand for the Savior for preaching the Bible and preaching the message of Almighty God. But man, you just keep on preaching. Hey, Timothy, I stood there when Stephen was stoned. He kept preaching the Bible. Hey, Jesus Christ preached the Word of God. Hey, John the Baptist preached the Bible and his head was taken off. Jeremiah preached the Bible. Isaiah preached the Bible. Old Jonah preached the Bible. Old Hosea stood up and didn't back down from preaching. No, he preached the Bible. And it's just a farmer said, I'm preaching the Bible. And understand, you take your Bible and you don't find men that stood up and apologized for the Word of God. And stand up and try to make the Bible soft and simple to make the folks enjoy it. But no, they stood up and they said, listen, this is what the Bible says. This is what God expects from you. Now get right and respond to Almighty God. And understand, dear friend here, God Almighty has ordained preaching to get the job done. Hey, God's never promised to ordain a rock and roll concert. He's never promised to give you an entertainment to make you feel good, put on a play to make you enjoy your time at church that would get the job done. But no, God Almighty has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And I'm afraid in a day and time when we need more preaching, I'm afraid it's a time and day when many of God's people are refusing to sit under Bible preaching. And understand, dear friend, the greatest need and one of the most important things for your home is for you to sit under Bible preaching, not where you get entertained, not where a soft little preacher will preach your sermon at to keep you comfortable in the lifestyle you live, but no, a man of God like your pastor that stands up and steps all over your toes and man puts you under Holy Spirit conviction, because God said His word will not return void. God said, Isaiah 58 verse 1, Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sin. Jonah 3:2. Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. It says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Titus 1 verse 3. But at them due time, manifest His Word, not through entertain them, not through come as you are attitudes, but know He's ordained His Word through preaching. Understand God's placed a high premium on preaching. And that's why Paul, writing to this preacher, writing to this man of God, a servant of Jesus Christ, hey, Paul says, Timothy, you preach the Word. He was to be instant in season and out of season. That means you preach when you feel like it, and you preach when you feel like it. You preach when people like it, and you preach it when they're going to cut your head off. You preach it when, boy, the boss comes by and says, hey, that was a nice little thought for the day. And you preach it when the boss comes at you and says, you mentioned Jesus Christ one more time and you're going to get fired. And that means you stand for Jesus Christ in your public school. And though they may not like it and pat you on the back and say, what a good preacher boy you are, you still preach the Bible. Hey, that means you, when you get around your family and around your in-laws, you don't go soft and compromise and be like them when they ask you to do things that are against Bible principles, but no, you stand for the Word of God and you stand for Jesus Christ. Hey, you preach it when it's popular and you preach it when it's not popular. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Understand, a Bible preacher, a man of God that opens the Bible, is a man of God that reproves through the Word of God. He rebukes, he exhorts with all long-suffering and doctrine. Why? Why do we preach? Verse 3, for the time will come. By the way, if we're not at the time, we're closely at it. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You understand, sound doctrine is line upon line, precept upon precept. Bible preaching. You know, I'm afraid we've got churches all over the country, all over the world, we've got a lot of churches that have thrown away Bible preaching. And they've gone to that Rick Warren, purpose-driven church style. They've gone to the Joel Osteen style, where, man, a big old smile should entertain you and keep you coming back. Now, let me just say something. Joel Osteen does not preach the Bible. Oh, he may preach on heaven and peace and joy. And, well, you may get a nice little feeling when you hear him preach on TV. But listen, when Joel Osteen won't preach against sin because he doesn't want to be a controversial preacher, and when he refuses to preach on hell because it's negative, understand, that is not a Bible preacher. And oh, I know it's unpopular to, when these men, and boy, they go to the Coliseums, and boy, folks go down to Syracuse to hear him in the Coliseum, and over to Rochester, down to New York City. Boy, they go out in droves to hear him preach. Oh, I know people like him, and boy, it's entertaining. But understand, dear friend, it's not a Bible preacher. No, because a Bible preacher preaches on hell. A Bible preacher preaches against sin. Understand, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. About the eternal security, doctrine about salvation in Christ and Christ alone. Understand, we ought not be getting around with all the different religions and say, let's just buddy up together and let's just have a nice big old convention where we just smile and get along together. Why? Because, man, we don't agree with the religions that are teaching works that get you to heaven. Hey, we don't agree with folks that stand up and say, hey, there's another way to heaven. No, Jesus said there's only one way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Paul said the time's going to come when folks won't endure sound doctrine, but what? After their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers, having engineers. Paul said after their own lust, their own selfish and sensual desires. Hey, they don't want somebody to stand up and preach against their sin. They want a preacher that will make them feel good. And folks, in a day and time when we see the churches compromising and getting away from Bible preaching, that ought to be a time where we as God's people say, you know what? We're not going to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting yourself and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hey, that means we're going to be faithful to church. That means we're going to, every time the Bible is open, we're not going to debate it. We're not going to sit back and wonder, should we go to church? But no, as a family, we've already determined when the doors are open, we're going to be under Bible preaching. Hey, that means a Tiddlywinks tournament, a softball game, a four-square tournament, a dodgeball tournament, a kickball tournament. That doesn't take the priority over the Word of God being preached. Hey, that means, you know what, if there's something going on and we want to go to the parade or we want to go to the fair or we want to go to this or that and there are something going on in church, then we just simply say the Bible is more important than our entertainment and our feelings and our own things. We're going to sit under Bible preaching. Hey, Paul says preach the Word. Why? Because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Notice verse number 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Fables are stories. Boy, you see it all over the place. Story time with Pastor Somebody. Hey, come here, the Reverend so-and-so, tell a little story, make you feel good. And let me say, we don't need Reverend Jeff to stand up and give us a little story, all right? We need a man of God preaching the Word of God. Paul says, Timothy, as I've come to the end of my life, I want you to know I can look back. I can say I fought a good fight. It was a good fight. Boy, there were some bruises. There were some knockouts. Boy, there was some, you know, some pain that was along the way. But Timothy, I fought a good fight. He said, I finished my course, and I've kept the faith. Man, there's a prize awaiting me when I get to heaven. I'm going to see Jesus Christ face to face. Timothy, hey, Demas, he's quit. He's gone back. He's no longer serving Christ. How about you, Timothy? Are you going to be like Demas? How about tonight? Are you going to be like Demas? Are you going to quit? Are you and I going to continue? We ought to, number one, continue in Bible reading. Number two, in Bible vision. Number three, we need to continue in Bible preaching. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. You said it would not return void this evening. So it's led us to a place of decision. Either we can be like Demas and just throw our faith and throw our walk with you away. Or Father, we can make the choice to continue in the Word of God. Continue in Bible vision, looking for your soon return, and continue in Bible preaching, sitting under the Word of God. Father, I pray tonight that you would have brought about conviction. I pray that lasting decisions will be made this evening. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and a moment we'll stand and the music will be playing. But I want to say, Brother Steve, tonight, you preached about continuing in the Word of God. You preached about being an individual that continues looking for Jesus to come back, and an individual that enjoys and sits under Bible preaching. But you say, preacher, the reality is God spoke in my heart tonight. Maybe I'm not faithful in my Bible reading. Maybe I'm not faithful in Scripture memory. Maybe I'm not faithful in living a holy and pure life. But you say, preacher, tonight, God's spoken to my heart. And tonight I'm making a decision about the message that's been preached. Preacher, would you pray for me? God spoke to my heart. If that's you, would you slip your hand? Amen. All over the room, that's me. I need to make some decisions about continuing. Good. Many hands. Good. I wonder, lastly, would there be one that say, Brother Steve, you know, I'm not saved. Boy, you talk about Jesus coming again. The reality is if Jesus came back right now, I wouldn't be ready because I've never asked Christ to be my Savior. I know Jesus died on the cross for me and rose again. I realize there's a real heaven, there's a real hell, and if I, by faith alone, apart from works, trust Christ to be my Savior, heaven can be mine when I pass away. You say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? If that's you, would you slip your hand up? I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out, but I'd like to pray for you. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Would you pray for me? Here's my hand. Well, Father, thank you for the Bible being preached tonight. Now I pray that we'd respond. Help us just not to be hearers of the Word, but I pray that we be doers also. Lord, may there be some lasting changes made here at the altar tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed as the music begins to play this evening. God's spoken to your heart, child of God. You need to come. Would you respond this evening? Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. How about it? Would you come tonight? Would you come? Are you continuing in Bible reading? Bible vision, Bible preaching? Need to come, would you respond to me? How about a teenager? Are you continuing in the Word of God? You need to come, would you respond? How about it, Dad? How about it, Mom? God spoke to your heart. You need to come the same. Would you respond?
Thank you, Mrs. Mason. Thank you. You may be seated. Ushers, if you'll come, please. We will receive our offering tonight.